This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant. Oh, sorry.
Kevin Durant. You're Kevin Durant, mate. Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go again.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth...
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to Down to Dunk.
This is episode. Try as Luke? We do as
this
Luke.
Is episode 352.
Three, five, two.
We're Down to Dunk. We are featured on DailyThunder.com, also Almighty Baller Radio, and this weekend we will be on Dash Radio. So listen up on Saturdays at around 3 o'clock, and we'll be on Dash Radio. With us today, John Hamm.
Hi.
And Taylor Dickerson. What was that?
That was Ham's intro.
Okay.
Have you heard on the franchise in the morning show whenever they bring me on?
No.
They have a clip of the actor John Hamm reading mean tweets.
Uh-huh. That's awesome. Hilarious.
Where he says, "I hate John Hamm." He's reading someone that had tweeted about him. That's my intro on the morning show.
That is funny.
That is pretty great.
Yeah.
What's not pretty great is that the Thunder are down 2-0. To the Houston Rockets. They lost 115 to 111. Ham and I previewed the game, and we're going to talk about the game. So
I listened to that preview yesterday.
Yeah.
And I said,
how was it?
Wow, you guys are so stupid. I know what happened.
Yeah.
I know. The
how right were we about everything, though?
Pretty right, I think.
We're spot on.
Yeah, you were really spot on.
So the story is that Russell Westbrook was maybe the best he's ever been all season for the first three quarters, and maybe the worst he's ever been in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's, you can't blame Russell, but you also can't not blame Russell.
Oh, no, he deserves a share of it.
For what happened? I mean, so there's a point where Russell needs to take over, right? There's a point where he needs to take the shots. But it doesn't have to be the entire fourth quarter. And I think that was the problem, right?
To me, it was, I didn't think he was getting good shots.
Oh, he was getting awful. I mean, everyone was contested, right?
And so, and then I saw the responses on, well, what, would you rather Jeremy Grant or Andre Robertson take those shots? Well, yeah, if they had a better look, I would.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather Doug McDermott, who's wide open a million times.
Yeah. And I mean, that's difficult because like sometimes people post these screen grabs and it doesn't tell the entire story. But no, there were times where Russ was chucking.
You're watching live.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're right. When you go on Reddit hours after the game and then you see like, oh, well, I didn't notice that this happened or this happened. But everybody that's watching live can see McDermott just sitting there.
Wide open.
A good three-point shooting, Doug McDermott. What is he shooting with the Thunder? Maybe not that great.
No, but in that game, he was shooting well. Sure.
And he had no reason not to trust him.
The only reason to have him on the floor was for that purpose.
Yeah. Right. Floor spacer, shooter.
And like he was being situationally put out there because James Harden was not in the game.
Right.
You know, Russ has a big issue in fourth quarters not trusting guys who weren't making shots earlier in the game. Specifically, like he will pick people out and be like, no, you're done today. That's it. But Doug McDermott was probably the only guy who was making shots that he was given.
He was 4 or 5 in the game.
Yeah, and you still don't trust him at the end of the game. I thought that the players yesterday at practice, they were talking about it. And they said, you know, we'd be talking about it differently if he makes those shots. Yes, of course. But they also said he has had games where he's taken those shots and he has made like a lot of them. And there is some truth to that, too. But I thought that what you were saying was they were just bad shots.
And yes, he has taken and made those shots before against Orlando, Denver, Dallas.
Sure.
Not the Houston Rockets.
He also took 18 shots
in the fourth
quarter. That's more shots than Victor Oladipo took the whole game.
Yeah.
More than Robertson took the whole game. It's probably more than Adams, Taj, and the whole bench combined. Took the whole game.
Yeah.
It's Russ is spectacular. I want to say that first.
No doubt.
He makes criticizing him very easy sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the people that were talking about him shooting too much or the sustainability of what he's doing, they were just sitting back and just laughing that whole fourth quarter because he makes it really easy sometimes to criticize his game. And if he can play like he did for 3.5 quarters and then take 8 shots in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. then I think that's the Thunder are better off, right?
Well, yeah, and I feel like there's a lot that kind of led up to that. The fact that they took Russ out late in the third quarter and then Houston started to go on that run.
Yes.
And so Russ had to come back in at the start of the fourth, and then they hemorrhaged more points. Well, no, the Thunder kind of built up the lead a little bit, I think.
I think they're up 6, maybe.
Yeah, it was only 6.
And then, basically coughed up the points there. But Russ had to come back at the start of the fourth.
Yeah.
Which that's not his normal sub back in time. And yes, it's playoff time, but still, he needed more rest than what he got because then he had to play the entire fourth quarter, and that undoubtedly impacted him in some ways late in the game.
And Harden didn't come in until 7 minutes left.
Oh, he was tanned, relaxed.
Yeah.
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 It's ridiculous. And the problem is when Russ is off, I mean, the problem is both. When Russ was off the floor, Samaj, he played 6 minutes and 38 seconds. He was a minus 15 in 6 minutes and 38 seconds.
That is so hard to do.
Which is really impressive. Good job, Samaj.
I don't know. I don't know what's more impressive, Russ taking 18 shots in the fourth, and then Samaj being minus 15 in 6
you
minutes.
You mean the defensive ball stopper that is Samaj Kristen?
That's right. Yeah. He's only stopping one thing is the ball going in the hole for the Thunder.
Yeah. And so that's, I mean, I wrote about this before the playoffs on our Daily Thunder 5 on 5. The Thunder should not have come into the playoffs with the backup point guards that it has.
Yeah. No, they don't have one.
Yeah.
They have third and fourth point guards.
Look, I mean, I feel it's important to note that considering the constraints the Thunder had to work with over the summer, I mean, Presti did what he had to do. He wasn't perfect, you know.
Yeah.
Ronnie Price is going to get $2.5 million next season and not play for the Thunder. The Norris Cole signing, like they tried him immediately and then pulled him from the lineup. Maybe that should have been an indication on we need to go a different direction.
I wonder why not a 10-day with him?
Yeah, that too. I mean,
why not give him a 10-day?
There couldn't have been a whole lot of market demand.
Right.
But I mean, then why give Ronnie Price $5 million too? I mean, there are some of those decisions that I don't quite get. And I'm sure that, you know, there could be some politics behind it.
Yeah.
But
I think the biggest thing with the backup point guard is that they thought Cameron Payne was going to be good.
Yeah. And I agree with that. But at the trade deadline when they're shipping out Cameron Payne, they should have had a good feel for, you know what, Samaj is a good third point guard. And that's a position I feel like should have been fixed coming into the playoffs because there's a lot of guys out there that could have filled that role. Now, maybe the Thunder would have wound up, and maybe it still would have been a 115-111 defeat.
Yeah,
could have been. That's just a spot that I keep coming back to that should have got shored up before the playoffs.
So tell me this. In Lee Jenkins' piece, he wrote that Samaj Christian had emerged as a backup point guard, which... Where is he getting that information? Like who? Because that is not something that you watch the games and you say, you know what? He's really emerged.
You know, to emerge, you only have to like physically show up. It's like I can emerge from the swamp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like I know. But what he meant by it though is that he's like a competent backup point guard, which is just flat out not true.
Yeah.
Who is feeding him that information?
Well, I have some thoughts here. First of all, those of us in the media room that night were really chuckling about that. Like, for Lee Jenkins to write that, Lee Jenkins,
right?
Here's the other thing, too, and I've noticed this. We've talked about this as well. You ever listen to a podcast with Brian Windhorst when he starts talking about the Thunder, and he gets very passionate about how the Thunder got screwed?
Yeah.
I swear he just got off the phone with Sam. Like, he just literally hung up and just grabbed a microphone and started talking about how the Thunder got screwed. I feel like a lot of times you can talk to Sam, and you can get convinced Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
B.J. Mullins was a really good draft pick. I mean, you can you know, you can kind of...
B.J. Mullins was a really good draft pick.
You could walk away just thoroughly convinced
that... Look into my crystal clear frames, and I'm going to tell you.
So there is a little bit... And like Steve Jobs had that, right? Every time Steve Jobs came out, what was it? The Steve Jobs effect, a reality distortion effect, where Steve Jobs could, you know, pull out a bag of dog food and say it was the next great technological intervention. Mm-hmm. Sam can do that to people too. It's not a terrible thing. It's just, I think Sam passionately believes, he probably believes in him 3 or 4 years from now.
Yeah.
He very well may.
Oh, and the thing is that Sam Presti is a good general manager too.
Get out of town.
Believe it or not.
Get out of town.
He's done a good job. Has he made mistakes? Yes. Sam is human.
Before we move on from the backup point guard,
we could do a whole pod on
this. I think it's a factor in the game.
It totally is. But here's my thing too, is if you trade for a guy like Norris Cole or if you go pick him up, why are you doing that? Well, because he has a ton of playoff experience. Yeah. And he has a ton of experience as a player in the NBA. So why not just, even if he sucked right when he got here, why not just stick with him knowing, well, I don't know, it'll probably be better to have him for 6 minutes on the floor in the playoffs than Samaj Christie.
They must have looked at it and just been like, oh no.
Yeah.
That bad?
What have we done?
Just pull up that clip of Will Arnett from Arrested Development. I've made a huge mistake.
But then the first game of the playoffs, you do throw him in with Samaj on the court at the same time. Weren't they playing at the same time?
They played at the same time. He played at the two primarily. And then after the game, they looked at each other and they said,
Who are we?
I made a huge mistake. Okay, we're going to do a new segment. It's called I'm Smarter Than Billy D, and we're going to talk about the rotations as if we're smarter than Billy D, and we really don't have to call it a segment because we do it every podcast anyways, where we critique his rotations and say that we would do something different, but what would you do different than Billy D that makes you smarter than Billy D?
Well, my answer, much like Billy D, is going to be 12 minutes long.
That's right.
No, do you? Please. Okay. As a media member now, John Hamm, don't you appreciate that more than what Scott Brooks would give you, though? It's so much more interesting.
I never didn't get to experience the Scott Brooks experience, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, sometimes when you've got a 1,000-word article to write, and if you've got a question for Billy D, he can give you 500 words of content.
Yeah.
I mean, he can make your job a lot easier because it's like good usable stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just fluff.
Sometimes I feel like I got dumber after I hear what he said, though, because I feel like he's not answering the question.
There's an art to that.
But he's just talking. Like, I think every time he's been asked about Josh Huestis not playing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go look at those quotes because what he says is nothing.
Pick and rolls.
He says nothing. Yeah. He says that he can't defend the pick and roll, but then what about McDermott? Like, what about Abrinas? Yeah. What about like all these guys that can't defend the pick and roll?
Right.
That's not an excuse for a Thunder player not being in the game.
Yeah. Now there is certainly some of the company line stuff that comes into play there.
Sure.
Sometimes if you've got a specific, question about Enes Kanter's passing ability or, Russell Westbrook late in games, I mean, you will get some really good stuff from Billy D that'll make your articles a lot easier to write.
Yeah.
So
here's how I'm smarter than Billy D.
Okay.
Taj Gibson's played 21 minutes in the first two games.
That was mine.
He's got to play 30 plus. Like, why are they? I just don't get Billy. Why are you trying Sabonis? And he gave an answer for it. He wanted to stretch the floor. He wanted to give him a chance. Man, this is the playoffs, right? This is not a regular season where you're like, let's just give little Sabonis a little chance here.
There's not a lot of time for chances.
He played 2 minutes. All these minutes. And if you're going to play Kyle Singler, whatever. Like, you can play 10 minutes, fine. But if you're, don't play Kanter 7 minutes. Don't play Abrinas 4 minutes and don't play Sabonis 2 minutes. Like, he needs to shorten the rotation and give these guys consistent minutes and give all the minutes to the starters and then give minutes to Jeremy Grant, Doug McDermott, and Abrinas. That's what I would do because I'm smarter than Billy D right now. I would do that. I wouldn't give any minutes to Kyle. I think Kyle wasn't awful. I don't think that he wasn't terrible, but he adds nothing on the offensive end.
Yeah,
nothing.
I mean, fans just now they just have a visceral reaction when yes. Kyle checks in.
Sure.
You know, and I've had people tweet at me that, you know, you're basically waving the white flag as soon as you check in, Singler. Okay, that's a little too much.
A little harsh.
But. I was a little surprised because you and I talked on a pod. I didn't think he was going to be active.
I didn't know.
This series.
And it was because Norris Cole was so bad.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can all thank Norris Cole.
Yeah. And even then, I still thought Kyle was going to be an inactive in this series. So, I don't know. I do agree with you that if he is out there for quote unquote defensive reasons, and look, there's not many people on the planet that can slow down James Harden.
Right.
So I didn't see a lot of difference between like Kyle Singler stumbling backwards trying to guard Harden and Doug McDermott stumbling backwards trying to guard James Harden.
Exactly. I think that you have to play players that have elite skills, and McDermott and Abrinas have elite NBA skills and that they can score the basketball and shoot threes. Kyle Singler, anybody want to drop what he's elite at in the NBA?
Because he got one rebound. He's really good at getting. He's elite at getting single stats, single digit in a single category.
He's, that's why he's Kyle Singler.
Ooh.
So
that was bad.
Yeah. That was bad. And I mean Samaj too. I mean, we could pretend that he's a good defender all day. It's just he's not that good. If he was that good. I don't know. I mean, Patrick Beverley was very good at the beginning of his career defensively, and he could hound guys. I don't see the same thing from Samaj. I just see try hard from him. I don't see smart elite defense. I just see try hard.
I just see that. Yeah, he's not vacant.
Right.
He is focused.
Yes.
Which, you know, sometimes we don't see from some of the guys, but yeah, I don't agree that. Oh my gosh, this guy is, you know, right out of the Rick Pitino system of full court press and pressure. Not seeing it.
No.
Well, and none of that defense turns into anything close to like fast break points or anything open for Oklahoma City. No. Like then he gets stuck in the half court and he's just dribbling in one spot of the court for 15 seconds.
Just dribbling so high. I mean, almost above
and
his head.
Just pointing and yelling and nothing is happening.
Yep.
It's really bad. Taj Gibson, though. There's no reason he shouldn't be playing more.
He played 20 minutes and 47 seconds.
And you don't have to play why are you playing Cantor?
Hey, if you're going can't play Cantor on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Don't do it. play him. I don't know. And especially don't play him when James Harden is in the freaking game. Right?
Yeah. Which is pretty much what they did last, as much as they could until Adams got in foul trouble.
Right. Yeah, don't play him. I mean, I think Cantor's a big boy. He's making a lot of money. He understands. He's been team first since he came to OKC, and I think he understands. And if you're going to play him in some meaningless minutes where Harden is not in the game. I guess there's not really meaningless minutes in playoff games, but play him when Harden isn't in the game, and see what he can do to help your offense.
And the crazy thing is, if you go back and look at Cantor versus Houston in the regular season, he was a net positive.
Yeah.
I mean, he produced well in the regular season. That kind of shows, again, the difference between regular season and playoffs, where Houston has a lot of film and a lot of time to prepare and says, we're going to attack this guy every time he's in the game.
Cantor, I mean, when he's been in the game, I mean, he does not. I mean, he looks tight, right? He's like in the regular season when he's playing, like, I think he can play loose and free and he can get to the bucket and do his thing and, you know, make nifty passes. But he does not look comfortable out there.
Yeah. I mean, like Nene has been completely outplaying.
Killing him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Houston only have Capella and Nene that you really have to worry about defensively.
Right.
Like for bigs. So why do you have to, like, I don't know. You have Steve and Taj, and then you have Jeremy Grant off the bench, which you can make do with Ryan Anderson or whatever, because their only other bench players are Eric Gordon and Lou Williams and Nene. You don't really have to try all these bigs. You don't have to make it work.
Heck, even play Doug McDermott. If Ryan Anderson's in the game, I mean, all you have to do is put your hand in his face. Like, the dude's not going to take you off the dribble.
Well, they did that a lot, actually, during McDermott's minutes.
Doug, he plays a small ball four.
Yeah. So why, I don't know.
I completely agree with you. Shorten the rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would start there. Taj Gibson has got, to go pluck that guy off Chicago to get another veteran power forward presence
Yeah.
and then not utilize him enough. That that confounds me. So,
and he's been good when he's played. There's no reason to think, like, we're not even making excuses. Like, well, you know, he hasn't been shooting well, but you need him out there for defense. But no, he's been good offensively, defense, everything.
Taj Gibson was a plus 17.
Yeah, in 20 minutes.
In 20 minutes. And I don't know. Billy, you're lost when it comes to Taj Gibson. You need to call Tibbs. And Tibbs will tell you, play the guy 49 minutes.
That's right. Yeah.
Any other reasons that you guys are smarter than Billy D?
Those are just the big points.
Those are the glaring things.
Yeah.
I mean, if they shore that up and if they can try not to foul James Harden as much, I think they'll win the game. I think they'll win both these games at home.
I mean, there's definitely a chance. Oh, the other thing I would do, I'm smarter than Billy D, is I would cover my mouth when I'm talking to an assistant coach on the bench. Cameras everywhere, microphones everywhere.
Everywhere. The Thunder, they were in that first game in the first half too, though.
They were.
You know, like they can win. You thought for sure that game on Wednesday, the Thunder lost it. The Rockets didn't really win it. I mean, the Thunder lost that game. They were up 15?
They had a 15-point lead.
They did. Here's where the Rockets won it, is when you have Lou Williams and Eric Gordon coming off the bench and scoring 22 and 21 points apiece. I mean, that's it. And, I mean, the Rockets aren't throwing in all these guys. They're not throwing in Montrezl Harrell. They're not playing Bobby Brown. They're not playing Troy Williams. They're playing Lou Williams, Eric Gordon, and Nene off the bench, and that's it.
Right. Eric Gordon, 30 minutes. Nene, 25 minutes. Lou Williams, 21 minutes.
Do the same thing with Grant, McDermott, and Abrines.
I need to go back. What was it? Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals a few years ago where the Thunder played 6 guys in that game 6. And the 6th guy was Derek Fisher.
It was Derek freaking Fisher. Yep. Yeah, just and we know, I just think that you rely on guys that have elite skills. Jeremy Grant is an elite athlete and can do things sometimes. McDermott, elite shooter. Abrines, elite shooter. Everybody else, I mean, Cantor's an elite low post scorer, but man, if he's getting cooked on defense, he's got to sit. Kyle Singler, no elite skills. Sabonis, no elite skills yet. Maybe, I mean, I'd even be up for playing Nick Collison over some of these guys. Especially if you're looking for defense, if Steven Adams is in foul trouble, I would rather see Nick Collison in there than some of these other guys.
Yeah, and having good passing too in that second unit.
Yeah.
Because Kristen destroys it. So have Collison as your point guard.
That's right. Hey, that sounds better.
And
to
just
me
everyone run baseline over and over and over again. And Collison's just trying looking for bounce passes.
A point four. I like this.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I have a game.
I have game.
I have game for you. Vlade is back for the game. Actually, he's not. Okay, we're going to play a game, and we're going to... I've got the totals for the playoff series so far.
Is this game brought to us by someone?
It's brought to us by... I guess it could be. I didn't plan on that, but it's brought to us by Anthem Brewing Company.
Anthem, thank you for sponsoring this game.
Thank you for sponsoring the game, specifically this game. You can get yourself an Anthem beer this weekend for the game, during the game. Grab yourself an Anthem IPA. It's a delicious beer.
It is really good. Make sure that thing is cold as ice.
Get that thing cold.
Get that thing real cold.
Arjuna is also a very good beer.
You know, actually, my favorite Anthem beer when the weather's getting nice like this is their Pilsner, which is like a relatively newer beer. But that Pilsner is good, man. It is refreshing, and it is good for your heart.
The Anthem Pils, it is good.
I love Earl Burroughs, and I know that like we're out of the winter months, so typically, the stouts don't sell as well. But I just love tasty beers.
Get yourself a stout. There's an event this weekend at the Anthem Tap Room. If you haven't been to the Tap Room, that means that you also didn't come to our live pod.
That means turn this podcast off. You're not allowed to listen.
It's a really cool place. It's worth it just to go. But they have an event this weekend that's called Against the Grain. And it's a partnership with, who is it? Watery Edge Winery. They're collaborating and making a wine brew this weekend.
Whoa. So
it's tomorrow from 6 to 9. You should go check it out downtown at the Anthem Brewery at 4th and
it's for Southwest 4th between Classic and Western.
And Western. I'm going to get that down eventually.
You are.
But go check out that event and make sure that you check out if you're out and about on the town. Mm. Get yourself an Anthem beer.
Hey, that wine brew might actually be good because they've aged or they've like set beer. I don't know. Do you call it aging beer in a barrel or no?
I mean, it is getting older in the barrel.
Guess it's technically aging minute by minute, but they've done it in like whiskey barrels and wine barrels too. It actually is good. Yeah. So if they're doing straight up wine with beer in some kind of, I don't know. It's probably good.
If it's a young beer and a young wine, still could be good.
Hey, young beer with an old wine, who's to say? Age is just a number.
The game today. You're going to have to tell me who comes next in these totals. So you can just stay off Basketball Reference for just a second, Ham.
I think I've just been accused of
minutes played. Victor, or not Victor Oladipo, Russell Westbrook has had the most minutes played at 75. Tell me who are the second, third, and fourth guys in minutes played for the Thunder.
Okay, I'm going Victor Oladipo second.
Victor's second at 74, because I said it.
Andre Robertson.
Yeah,
Andre Robertson's at 72.
And Steven Adams.
Steven Adams at 55. Pretty low.
Were we right?
Yeah, great job. Next one, field goal attempts, and you have to try to give me a number.
Okay.
Russell Westbrook has 66 field goal attempts in the series. Who is second?
I'm going to say Victor Oladipo with 4.
Feels like it.
It's Victor Oladipo, though.
Vic with next. 26. He's shooting 19% from the field and 7% from 3.
Jeez.
It's time to trade him.
Just get the guy out of here. We need a top 55 protected second round pick for this guy.
I have got a 2-game sample that proves he sucks.
That's right. Yeah. Somebody prove him wrong. Somebody do it. It's impossible.
Andre Robertson's third.
Andre Robertson is third with 22.
That just goes to show Dre has been so good in this series.
He's the second best player by far.
That also shows why the Thunder are down 0-2 in this series.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, when Andre Robertson's your second best player, you're really not very good.
Yeah, and I mean, no offense to Andre, but I mean, we understand he brings it on the defensive end, but he's bringing it offensively. I mean, thank goodness he is, or these games would be even worse.
Yeah, there would be massive blowouts. I mean, game one was, but how much worse would it have been if he wasn't hitting his threes? It would have been ridiculous. All right, who's
fourth? Who's
third or fourth? Yeah.
Shot attempts.
Yep.
It's not Steve.
It's not Steve. No, Steve is way down the list.
Taj hasn't played enough.
Taj has 10. He is sixth.
Okay. Is it Cantor?
Cantor is fifth. He has 11 attempts in his like very limited play. Yeah. Jeremy Grant has 13 field goal attempts.
Yeah.
So this is how we like this team has gotten weird real fast.
Yeah.
Russ, Vic, Robertson, and Grant have the most
field goal attempts. It feels weirder than I ever thought about it during the regular season.
Yep. It does. Okay. Free throw attempts. Russell has 26.
Oh man.
Give me the person and the number of free throw attempts.
Okay, now seriously, Oladipo with 4.
Yeah.
Oladipo with 6.
Okay, I was close.
Yeah.
Would he have 2 in the first game? And 4 in the last game?
Which is par for the course for him, really.
Yeah, that's true. Do we have to keep going on this?
Grant has 5, and then the 3 guys have 4 attempts. Adams, Gibson, and Sabonis have 4 attempts. Hey, I'm pretty proud of Sabonis for those 4.
I'm not.
Remember when Sabonis didn't shoot free throws at all?
That was a thing for a while.
That was a fun time.
Awesome.
Sabonis, it made me... Okay. So Sabonis gets put in the game, gets 3 quick fouls, gets pulled real quick. Did you see how disappointed in himself he was when he was on the bench? He went straight to the bench and put his head in his hands. It was so sad.
It's the most Sabonis thing to do.
It was so sad. It was so embarrassing.
Assists for the series. Russ has 20. Who's second?
Oladipo with 4.
He's got 6.
Is he second?
That's my response to everything.
Yep. You're very close every
field
time.
Field goal percentage. Oladipo 4.
Oh, that's
pretty close.
He's
pretty
got 19. Yeah. That's really close. Samaj has 5 assists. Adams has 2. And Abrinas has 2. They're just...
That's not enough assists.
It's not enough points total points. This is our last category.
Okay.
Okay.
You have to guess. Russ has 73.
Who's next?
Who's next?
Oladipo with 4.
Oladipo with 4 is not is correct. It was is a good, it Oladipo, good guess.
Oladipo with 16?
Oladipo is not. He's not
he's
second.
He's not second?
No, he's not second.
Jeremy Grant.
Oh, Andre. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Keep going.
It's Robertson.
It's Robertson.
And how many? He's got 25.
He's got 30.
30. Okay. Yeah.
It's pretty good for Dre, but that's
your, really good for two games.
He's our second leading scorer.
Yeah, that's...
Scorer.
Now, that is not really good for the Thunder. Again, who's third?
Yeah, I was on the track of Jeremy Grant because didn't he have like 14 in game one?
Yeah, Grant's third. He has 19 points. Okay. Vic is fourth with 17 points. Vic has 17 points on 26 shot attempts in the series.
In how many minutes? Almost the same as Russ?
74 minutes. He's played one less minute than Russell Westbrook. If he was just average, his Victor Oladipo average, the Thunder might be up 2-0. But
yeah, if he plays average for 41 minutes in the game on Wednesday, we probably don't lose that game.
They cruise.
Yeah. Yeah, but hey, man, that really sucks.
I mean, again, this is the first playoff experience for a lot of these guys.
It's true.
I think it's a factor. It's not an excuse. It's a legitimate factor.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate factor. And I don't know. I just want to see the team like be competitive, which they were in game two.
Yeah.
I would hate to see them swept. I don't think it's going to be a sweep.
I don't think so.
But yeah, like I feel like a lot of people still feel like this team is going to the Western Conference Finals or something.
Right. That might be a problem for the Thunder in that it would mask the horrific roster construction that they have now. Like if this team somehow beat the Rockets, beat the Spurs, lose to the Warriors in 5, people would be like, oh, look at this Thunder team. And Sam Presti might say, oh, look at this Thunder team. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that could be a bigger problem because this Thunder team, they need to get new players in here. They need to get a team that fits around Russ. And if this team somehow did that, I don't think it would necessarily be a good thing for the team. Would it be really fun? Would it be great for the fan base? Yes.
Sure.
It would be great. But I just don't think long term that it's the best thing for the Thunder is for them to like play way over their heads here. Cause then what would be the perception if they started trading away these guys and bringing new, I mean, it would be like, why are they doing this? So they just made the Western Conference Finals.
I remember a few years ago, Philadelphia, they were the 8th seed. Mm-hmm. They beat Chicago in round one because Derrick Rose blew his knee out.
Yep.
And then, they thought, oh wow, we're really onto something here. And they made that huge trade for Andrew Bynum because they were ready to take the next step. Like they didn't have a complete, like realistic grasp on where they were.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't even know. Even if the Thunder got to the Western Conference Finals, I still think that this team is going to make some changes regardless. But I just don't know. That would be so far exceeding their ceiling.
Oh, it would be crazy. You lose Kevin Durant and Dion Waiters and the potential to have Al Horford, and then you make the Western Conference Finals and do the same thing you did last year. I mean, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
It'd be absolutely
and unprecedented as well.
Right.
And then you beat the Warriors.
And then you beat the Warriors.
And then you beat the Cavs.
Then you beat the Cavs. And this is the championship team.
And they're all 25 and younger.
That's right.
This is a dynasty.
We got a dynasty on our hands. Let's go to that crazy place. Let's go to Twitter questions.
Twitter questions!
First Twitter question is from Noah B43. How do you think off season will play out? Cantor trade, re-sign Dre and Taj?
I have held off on off season questions because the season's not over.
And we have a lot of podcasting to do.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's plenty of time. And here's what I'm trying to reinforce. Like July 1st is still 2 months plus away.
It's only 2 plus months away.
I know. How many people thought back in December, like, you know, the Thunder, I think, are going to pull off a trade for Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, there are so many moving parts between now and then on what the Thunder could potentially do. That's why I've been holding off until the season is over and we can properly, like, start to evaluate everything.
Sure.
I have a question, too. Sam Presti's one of the least predictable GMs in the league, probably. Has there been a conversation that we have had or other local media have had, like predicting what the Thunder should do, that has that has actually happened?
Yes.
Which
and
one?
And it was between John Hamm and I.
What was it?
We did Serge Ibaka trades.
Yep.
In like January of last year. And one that we chose was Victor Oladipo for...
Oh, really?
For Serge Ibaka.
That was one of Andrew's. I was trying to get Chris Middleton out of Milwaukee.
Oof.
That would have been better.
Oh, yeah. Because
he's really good.
Because he's really good. But, in other words, it's extremely rare that, like, we come
it's up. It's rare. Well, John and I have talked a lot and made up a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people talk about it. It's what you do. It's what you're supposed to do.
Hit on
fun,
one. Yeah.
But it's just you just never know what he's thinking of or who he's talking to or what's really going on.
I think that Kander's traded.
That seems like a legit possibility for a number of reasons. Going into virtually the last year of his contract, I understand. I mean, people are looking at, you know, this Rockets series and who in the world would want him? Well, there's like regular season evidence that he's a useful NBA player.
Yeah.
I could see teams in the Eastern Conference that would want to have a big man like him coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. You look at Milwaukee. Here I am talking off season stuff, and I said I wasn't going to. But, I mean, I'm just trying to, because there's a lot of people out there that kind of panic because of the last two games.
Yeah.
You know, Milwaukee could part ways with Greg Monroe. They could be interested. Cleveland, they could cobble together stuff, you know, and the Thunder could wind up in a 3 or 4-way trade to send him out. So, no, I do think there are NBA teams that would want him and that the Thunder could use. And don't get wrapped up on, well, can they get anything in return? It just takes, again, Chicago wanted Cameron Payne. I had no idea that was even a thing.
Right.
So, and that started, workings of a deal.
Yep. Trades aren't always fair.
Well, and
for both sides,
it's not always you know, who says no. It's not always who's got the most value. These are business deals. A lot of times, that's what it comes down to. Is, you know, it's the player in his contract. It's the amount of debt. that I'm moving for that amount of debt. It's a lot more complicated than just the trade machine said it was successful.
Right. Next question from at Glazed and Consumed. Should the team get on Russ when he gets in his tunnel vision or goes bad Russ? Or do we just keep with the take that the good with the bad, with the good with the bad approach? If they should, if this is
Luke, apart, read. Do you not know how to read, Luke?
If they should, who would be the best to do so? Assuming they do film, but it's too late after the fact. I mean, I do think that people talk to Russ and say, like, you shouldn't be taking these shots. And I think that person is Billy Donovan. I think Billy Donovan does talk to him about these things. And I think that Russ knows, too. Russ knew after the game. I mean, you go look at his presser. I mean, he was not happy for a lot of reasons, mainly that they lost. But he knows that he needs to get his teammates involved. And it hasn't been the first time he said that either, and he hasn't really changed. But I think that they're watching that film, and I think it does matter. And I expect him to be different. I expect him to play, not do that again. But maybe, I don't know.
Go listen to today's Locked on Thunder with Fred Katz, where I'm a guest.
Yes.
And Fred offers some insight on this. Yes. Fred offers the insight that Russ is open to coaching.
Yeah.
And Russ will initiate, like, hey, I know I screwed up, and he will go initiate those things. Some of this is, you know, bad Russ, good Russ, that it you is. Just kind of have to take the good with the bad. Look, it's the same in a similar way. It's, you know, like with Cleveland, you know, LeBron James has so much power over that organization. Well, yeah, you know, that's the way it is. If you've got a star player demanding that you spend a ton of money, That's the cost for having LeBron James. In some ways, that's the cost of having Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. Now, some of that is on him to get his emotions in check at times, to snap out of the tunnel vision that he gets into. But yeah, I mean, this just isn't college where the coach can just pull him, straighten him out, and send him right back out there. These are adults cooperating with adults.
And making millions of dollars doing it.
Right.
And if you ask the Thunder, who's more important to their organization? Is it Billy Donovan or is it Russell Westbrook? I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like it or not, this is our guy.
That's the way it works in the league. Yeah. I mean, it just is.
And think about this. Think of the amount of... Okay, yes, think about the amount of pressure on Russell Westbrook, but... Russell Westbrook.
You sound like my five-year-old, six-year-old.
Russell Westbrook. Not only do you know you have to score the most points, not only do you know you're basically the only one who can pass the ball, not only do you know you have to go get a bunch of rebounds, but now also you're expected to play at like your highest maturity level and like as smart as you can for 40 minutes and you still have to do all of those other things. So yeah, avoid what your natural tendencies are to do when it comes to scoring because you have to get your teammates involved. Oh, but also we need you to score 40 points. Mm-hmm. So can you do all of those things, please? Like it's so much for a human being to do.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't I feel like that's why he tries so hard in the first quarter and the second quarter to get the teammates involved. Cause it's like, I just can't think this way the whole game.
Right.
So you guys have to do it.
Yeah. Because the truth is the Thunder aren't in the position that they're in the fourth quarter without Russ. But then he also doesn't play well. I mean, we're basically saying, Russell, if you're not perfect, then don't bother showing up.
Yeah. It's so weird, and everything does hinge on Russ.
It does.
If you win, it's because of Russ. If you lose, most of the time it's because of Russ, but that's the amount of like pressure and weight that is on Russell Westbrook's shoulders, though.
It is.
Know? And now you're in the playoffs, and now you're against James Harden, who's like his, you know, who he's competing for in the MVP race. There's just so much going into it.
Yeah.
And we expect this guy to perform perfectly.
Here's why this is priority number one in the offseason for me, is go get a freaking backup point guard or somebody that can run the offense. They have no other facilitators. None.
And that was supposed to be Vic.
Vic is not that. And
he's just not.
He isn't. And Samaj isn't that.
We want him to be.
Yeah, we do. They don't have another guy that can facilitate. And some people are like, well, they need to get Russ running off ball. You want to get Russ running off ball?
Yeah.
With who passing the ball to him? Like, that's a great argument. I would like to see Russell Westbrook have a lesser role because he doesn't need to have this crazy 66% usage rate in the fourth quarter. And some of that is his fault. And some of that is the roster is not constructed to have anybody else do anything. Like,
they're not there yet. I think Sabonis can eventually be a guy to facilitate some stuff on the team.
Yeah.
I think they can get someone else, maybe at the wing, to not necessarily be a dead-eye three-point shooter, but do some creation and take some of that responsibility to where Russ can give up the ball in the half court.
Yes.
And maybe kind of find a spot, you know, and let the offense kind of run. And if it comes back his way, it does. I mean, you're working with what you got.
That's why I want them to draft Juwan Evans.
Yeah, so Russell Westbrook can be the two.
That's right. Next question from at Trust the Void. Do you think Perk thunderstruck Adams when he was last here? And why can't Adams catch passes anymore? God, I hate Thunderstruck so bad now. I was an extra in that movie, and I'm so mad at myself that I was.
You can't get away from it.
I can't.
That's like George Clooney regretting that he was in that Batman movie.
Batman and Robin.
That's right.
I'm looking up your internet movie database credit here. Let me get that pulled up. Andrew.
Definitely not anywhere, but I was an extra that didn't get to be in a commercial recently with Russ, and I was a cheer in the crowd.
Wait a minute. You don't have a credit on the Internet Movie Database.
I don't. Sorry.
I don't believe you then.
Did you even get paid for that?
Actually, I did.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I did.
Extras get paid?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought extras were just like, great, I have a chance to be in a movie.
Yeah, like here, sign this waiver that says we, you know, you can't sue us.
I got paid $200 to be in Thunderstruck.
That's pretty
That's like scale, right?
And I also got mini bunch of mini muffins. Dude, I ate my weight in mini muffins on the set of Thunderstruck. Hey. So what's funny is the crowd. So there were probably like 50 of us there. And so they have the whole crowd in the stands. So there are shots where you can see multiple Andrew Schlecks because they would shoot the same scene over and over again, and we would move sections from section to section and did the same thing all the way around the arena.
Wow.
That's and they would have us just change seats.
Did you know they spent $10,000 just on having you 50 people there?
Hey, man.
$10,000 plus $50.
And then they had to rent the arena.
This is a major feature.
Yeah.
Anyways,
it was though. It was in actual theater.
It was great.
What was the question?
Yeah, I have no idea what this is.
Sorry, don't ever mention Thunderstruck ever again.
Thunderstruck Adams.
I mean, yes, Adams has had trouble catching the ball, and he does look Perk-esque at times. I can't disagree. I don't know what it is.
I feel like a lot of times though there's so much traffic, and like it's Russ is driving to the basket and he's trying to dish off
forcing some like bullet pass into him. Yeah,
and there's again 16 people in the paint. I feel like that's some of it. There are times where I mean Adams the ball just flat out Perks out of his hands.
Yeah,
but
it's a verb now.
Yes.
There's a lack of like urgency and aggression with Adams this game, this series, I think, too. There's one play in particular that Russ gave Adams a ball, and I think Pat Beverly was on him in the post. And Adams just turns around, and instead of just going hard and like just trying to, I don't know, just jumping towards the basket, knowing that you're two times taller than the player, he just kind of turned around and took like a step and tried to push shot it over him. And it's just like, it's just weird.
Yeah, it's time to trade him, too.
Yeah, he's gone.
Get him out of here. Making $100 million. Get out of here with that. Worst contract in the NBA. Get out of here with that. Next question.
History. NBA history.
In the NBA history. Yeah, get him out of here.
Juwan Howard got $105 million. Steven Adams got $100 million. Which one's better? A better investment?
Maybe we should get him in here, Juwan.
I think so.
Probably better than Adams. That dude's awful. Next question from at Ben Vance. Outside of Thunderland, who's to blame for the Celtics' predicament? Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, Isaiah Thomas, or Jimmy Butler? Does a first-round pick make up for a first-round loss? First of all, we don't know if they're losing in the first round yet because the Chicago Bulls happen to be one of the more inconsistent teams in the entire NBA. So does it look really bad for the Bulls, or if not for the Bulls, for the Celtics right now? Of course. Is the series over? Not yet.
Yeah, and that's my whole thing on when you know people get excited about off-season moves after one game one or game two of a series. Mm-hmm. Like, let's let this play out a little bit.
So people think like, oh, Jimmy Butler's for sure sticking around the Bulls now. They've got something to build on. What if the Celtics win four games in a row?
Right. Exactly.
And they could.
They like, could
the
do
Celtics
it.
Could yep. could go into Chicago and take both these games.
Of course they could. Here's what I'll say about the Celtics in general. I don't know exactly what deal they had in place potentially for Butler. I know that there's a lot of stuff out there like they wouldn't include Terry Rozier or they wouldn't give up their, you know, the Nets pick or we don't know exactly what deal was on the table to what extent. But the idea was maybe the Celtics should make a trade. And even David Griffin from the Cavs thought they were getting Butler and Paul George.
Right.
The thought was LeBron might be vulnerable. Now might be a time to pounce.
Yep.
And so in the end, the Celtics got the one seed. The Cavs defense fell apart completely. They almost lost by 20 points last night until LeBron did his magic.
Well, and they clicked on their defense. They flipped the switch that everyone's been waiting for. Flip the switch.
So
I didn't say that in the house as much.
I mean, that was a risk.
Really, in basketball, I use that phrase more than anything.
Tess Mills said that they have like a dimmer. Like he says that they've been like gradually pushing it up.
So I mean, there was that possibility. Maybe LeBron's vulnerable, but, you know, that was the risk that Ainge took. I could maybe make this trade for at least Butler. Maybe it puts us in a better position this year. Maybe I'll wait till the draft when I know what that pick is going to be.
Yeah.
And then I can talk again. Or maybe it makes sense to keep the pick and draft a guy that's going to be with my franchise forever.
Yeah. At some point, he's got to pick a direction, right?
He can pick
the Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, pair him with Jimmy Butler or Paul George and go that direction. Or let Isaiah go, you know, maybe even trade Al Horford to somebody and get, you know, you could probably get a really nice first round pick and some assets back for him and then move forward with Fultz and Marcus Smart and Olynyk and all these guys and just try to build that way. I just think it's really hard to do this dance.
Yeah.
Because if Markelle Fultz comes in and you're still, and then you like bring in Jimmy Butler and then you have all these guys. I mean, I guess that could potentially be a great thing. And then you have Fultz that's developing. And then when all these guys fall off, then Fultz is your star. And then all these guys are old. And I mean, that makes sense. I don't know. I don't know what they do. And, you know, I'm kind of glad that Ainge isn't that aggressive and thinks that his guys are way better because I think it gives the Thunder a better chance to get one of these guys in the offseason because Ainge just, he just hasn't pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
It just has not happened. And he might not. And it's going to take a guy like Markelle Fultz because if a team knows that the Celtics have all these guys plus they have the first pick, they're going to say, give me the first pick.
Right.
If you can't, you're not going to be able to get Jimmy Butler without giving me Markelle Fultz. Mm-hmm. And then if they don't, and if they say no deal, then they might turn around and get a worse deal from the Thunder or from somebody else, just out of principle of we're not trading with you unless you give us, you know, your first round draft pick.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, maybe in the end, the Celtics, maybe the deal was Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, Nets pick for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Maybe at the draft, it's just the draft pick.
Yeah,
for Jimmy Butler. And I don't know, like, you know, various flotsam to make the salaries work or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is something like that. I don't know. I think it's interesting that here Butler is cooking them in the playoffs. And and also, I don't think Ainge wants any part of paying Isaiah Thomas $25 million a season.
I don't think so.
That's a job for Brooklyn or someone like that.
I feel bad for the Celtics because this is, and I feel really bad for Isaiah Thomas and what he's going through.
Yeah, no doubt.
And kind of like trying to evaluate this series is hard because there's such a human element to it. And I just don't think you can go straight basketball on this series in particular because
it's much deeper.
Tragedy, when you have tragedy in your life, things you can't be your best and you can't do the things you do. I mean, he's missing shots at the free throw line that he would not miss had stuff like this not happened. I feel bad for him, and I just don't think that people should be evaluating Isaiah Thomas or even the Celtics organization at this point because this is beyond basketball, and you have to be a person to realize that.
Another thing that's beyond basketball is Rondo being good at basketball.
Right. There's so many, and I talked about this, there's so many things out of Brad Stevens' control right now.
Yeah.
The human element there, Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade, like, emerging as, like, good star players again. Paul Zipser just being a beast. He has no control over Robin Lopez looking like a max player. He doesn't... Those are things that are out of his control. And I mean, I would not stop and say that, oh, this is all Brad Stevens' fault. This is all Isaiah Thomas' fault. There is a lot of factors here. And I think a lot of it's the human element and the Bulls are taking advantage of that.
Nuance, context.
No.
What is it?
Do you have a game for us?
Yep. Quick game.
Okay.
This game's called Who's Tattoo? So I went and just looked at like really crappy tattoos. So I'm gonna describe.
Is this game brought to us by someone?
This game is brought to us by Oklahoma Shirt Company, our newest sponsor. Their biggest thing is they do a subscription.
Yeah.
It's called Shirt of the Month subscription. I think it's $10 plus shipping and handling and taxes and stuff. So it's about $35 a month. Just kidding. Just kidding. It's like $12 or $13 a month.
Yeah.
But what they do is you just subscribe and they'll send you a new shirt every month, and they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
They're really soft shirts, And that's what they do. They have some retail stuff too, but also they do some custom t-shirt printing too. So reach out to them if you want some shirts done. And
they do embroidery as well.
They do embroidery.
That's
right. They have a 3D printing machine. They don't have a 3D printing machine, but they can print single shirts. There's no minimum with them too, is what a big deal is.
That is a big deal.
Yeah. So if you want one shirt, two shirts, they will do it.
And also look out for some Down to Dunk things coming from them as well. So there'll be some merchandise coming from Oklahoma Shirt Company. You can follow them on Twitter. What's their Twitter handle? Do you know? Oklahoma Shirt Company. No, it's Oklahoma Shirt Co. on Twitter. Give them a follow. You can check out their stuff. They're also on Instagram if you're a grammar.
Mm-hmm.
And now, a game.
Who's tattoo? Number one, this person has praying hands holding a gun in front of a church.
Larry Sanders.
On his belly. No, I'll give you three options.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Steven Jackson, Michael Beasley, or Gilbert Arenas?
Steven Jackson.
Steven Jackson.
It is. You're correct. Literally, it's two hands praying, but there's a gun in the middle of those hands.
My favorite thing is that Steven Jackson tries to be a reasonable person on TV, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, sorry, that ship has sailed.
Yeah. Okay. A Transformers Autobot logo tattoo on the neck because he liked the movies. Really, that's what he said. Is it Deshaun Stevenson, Mello, or J.R. Smith?
I'm going to go J.R. Smith.
Deshaun.
It's J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
You're correct.
These guys have so many tattoos.
So many. This person has a scary gesture on the back of their right shoulder.
Okay.
Is it Chris Anderson, Brad Miller, or Tim Duncan?
Yes.
Tim Duncan.
It's Tim Duncan.
Yeah. It has a what now?
A gesture. Like a clown gesture. With a weird hat. It has he has a death gesture. It's like a horror gesture on his on the back of his right shoulder. He also has a wizard tattoo on his chest.
And doesn't his back look like he's a robot or something on his back?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought he also had a Punisher tattoo or something comic book related.
Probably.
He's a big nerd.
He's such a nerd.
Yeah. That is he has some weird stuff. Okay. This person has some weird star design around their belly button, and it's his only tattoo. So guys, look this up when I tell you what it is because it's so weird. Okay. Charles Barkley, Reggie Miller, or Kenny Smith?
Reggie Miller.
Kenny Smith.
It's Reggie Miller. Look it up right now while I'm asking.
That seems like a Reggie Miller thing to do.
I know. It doesn't make sense, but then if it made sense for anyone, it would be Reggie Miller that did it. Reggie Miller, belly button.
Does it have a meaning?
No. There's no. I looked up. I really looked into it because I was like, what is this? It's like a sun or a star, but it looks like a bunch of hair.
What's great is it does look like a bunch of hair.
It just looks like he has a ton of hair growing out of his belly button.
You should check it out. There's some embarrassing, weird pictures of him on the beach.
Yeah, yes. Some bad ones. Reggie Miller, belly button tattoo. Check it out, y'all. Okay. Next tattoo has a crack from the hairline down the forehead. So it's like, it looks like cracked glass, you know, but it's a crack on his forehead. So it looks like he's cracked skull. Is it Deshaun Stevenson, Marquise Daniels, or Chris Anderson?
I'm thinking Marquise Daniels.
Yeah, Marquise Daniels.
It's Deshaun. Is it Deshaun? Yes.
He's got a lot of face and neck tattoos.
He does. It was kind of hard to think of people who have that many face tattoos. I don't even know if Marquise Daniels has face tattoos.
Yeah, I don't remember.
In my head, he does.
Yeah.
Okay, this person has a Johnny Bravo head on their left arm. So it's just like a silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George, Iman Shumpert, or Monte Ellis?
Shumpert.
Monte.
It's Shumpert. And he said because he likes his hairdo.
Yep. High hair.
Wow. Yep. Last one. this person has the word mature misspelled on his back in a huge Bible verse. Do you guys know who this is? Is it Kevin Durant, Ben McLemore, or Wilson Chandler?
Oh, I think Ben McLemore.
Kevin Durant.
It's Kevin Durant.
Oh, really?
It's M-A-U-T-R-E. He has you know how his back is just full.
This makes so much sense.
Yes, doesn't it? When I found this out, I was like, there's nothing more perfect than this. That's why he's been acting this way.
That is amazing.
Is he mature?
It's Maltre.
Maltre?
He's Maltre. He's not mature.
No regrets.
Maltre.
Isn't that amazing? Did you find it? I'll post a picture of it later on the Twitter podcast.
This is great. Wow. Hey, speaking of Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter at Down to Dunk. That's our Twitter handle now. So if you're like, I can't tweet him, it's because we're Down to Dunk and not DTD Podcast. So just throwing that out there.
Thanks.
Hey.
What?
I have a question for you guys. Are you guys miffed?
Mm-hmm.
And also, are you guys peeved?
Uh-huh.
Miffed and peeved.
Are you?
I don't have anything that comes to mind.
I was a little miffed. I was getting my cereal ready from a drive the other day.
You and your...
And the milk. So the milk didn't smell great, but sometimes like the rim of the milk
doesn't smell good.
This is a bad start and a bad finish.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know if it was bad. And so I don't trust my smell test because I don't... During the time, like, I don't know what milk smells like.
That's such a weird thing to not trust about milk, first of all, because that's really the only test that you can give milk. Is it past due?
It was the day.
Okay.
It was the day of the expiration. So it was test worthy. I had no other milk to go to. So I went to give just a little tiny sip, like the tiniest sip that I could get.
Oh.
But for some reason... I didn't get a sip. I got more of like a gulp and it was bad.
What?
And I almost threw up.
Oh man.
It was really bad.
Like curdled milk is a very common thing in the world. You know, like it happens a lot.
Oh sure.
But it's also, it's still like one of the number one things that just grosses me out to a level that not a lot of things can. Poop, I can handle it.
Yeah.
Throw up, I can handle it. But curdled milk, for some reason, is just like really kills me.
It was real bad.
Oh, that's so disgusting.
Didn't have any cereal to take with me. Oh, it was gross.
Maybe that curdled milk saved your life the other day.
I was so miffed. Oh, ugh.
That's really bad. I don't have one.
You don't have one? Ham?
I have nothing.
We're grateful and blessed, man.
GMB, hey, enjoy the game tonight. And I'll reiterate this. Don't freak out if the Thunder lose. And also, leave us an iTunes review. If you listen to this every week and you haven't gone onto iTunes, click 5 stars for us. And have a wonderful weekend.